can't believe it's Friday again. It is. Time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? Welcome to a Friday night edition of The Molloy Show. Thanks for tuning in. We have a real potpourri of reports for you this evening. The first one is not surprising. Well, in a way it was, but it's all over the net now. All over reliable sources. I got this from Newser.com. A sound engineer of 30 years who was in the audience when Sarah Palin was on Jay Leno's NBC Tonight Show the other night. Sound engineer writes for, I think it's for Salon, that audio portions of Sarah Palin's appearance were added or amplified. In other words, laugh tracks and applause tracks were added. They were edited before broadcast. You know, those shows are taped around 5 o'clock in the afternoon and then broadcast that night at 11:35 Eastern. But the tape of her show, of her appearance on Leno, was edited before broadcast to make it appear that she was more welcome than she really was. The sound engineers at NBC, or whoever does this sort of stuff, so it is reported here, added laughter where there was none. The writer at Daily Kos, the sound engineer, says, quote, after sitting through the taping of the show in the studio, I can recount many portions where there was little or no laughter or zero response, but at the later broadcast, they are smoothed over with applause and laughter that were not there at the taping. Groans, hoots, grumbling, or just dead silence, all missing. Soon after leaving the studio, I basically tweeted this. Attended taping of Palin on Tonight Show. She bombed. Now, I read something, a late report from NBC that says, I like the ambiguity of how they put this. Sarah Palin's appearance did not need altering, I don't have it right in front of me. Sarah Palin's performance on Jay Leno's Tonight Show did not need engineering or taping or enhancing. Not taping, of course, it's, what was it? Did not need amplification, which is a non-denial denial. God. What a freak. She writes on her hands, and you know, it's not her fault. She is just, she's cashing in. And she's taking advantage of all the crazy people who think that she is, I don't know, a populist? Nah. She's discovered the Beck slide and the Hannity slide. Say certain things, you make lots of money! Yoo-hoo! So, Sarah Palin. It's not her fault, though, that this happened. It's Jay Leno's fault. I mean, he has final editorial control on his own program. All these guys do. Matter of fact, Letterman's program is produced by Letterman, you know, the worldwide pants production company. I don't know if Leno has the same deal, but I do know that these guys always have final editorial control. And, of course, Leno always has been kind of a suck-up to Republicans, which is one of the reasons, I guess, I never liked him. Plus, he looks weird. I just can't, you know, back in the day when I wasn't working at night, it's just hard to look at lantern jaw like that right before falling off to sleep. Jesus Christ, you talk about nightmares. Now, this is interesting. First-termer, New York Democratic Representative Eric Massa said today that he is stepping down from his seat with what he calls, quote, a profound sense of failure, end quote. And in an interview with a Corning New York newspaper columnist, he said, quote, I am guilty, end quote. What? In the statement, he said, I will, quote, I will resign my position. And I don't know, there's something weird going on. He says, quote, there is no doubt in my mind. What does that always mean when you hear these guys say that? There's no doubt in my mind. What about in your shoulder? There's no doubt in my mind that I did, in fact, use language in the privacy of my own home and in my inner office that, after 24 years in the Navy, might make a chief petty officer feel uncomfortable. In fact, there is no doubt that this ethics issue is my fault and mine alone, end quote. Earlier Friday, today, a visibly upset Massa said he didn't want to put his family through an ethics committee investigation. He said, quote, it would tear us apart. It's not that I can fight or beat these allegations. I'm guilty, end quote. Resignation takes place Monday. Now, this is, you know, what's this about? He, the thing about Massa, he's 50 years old, 24-year retired Navy commander, served during Operation Desert Storm, was later a special assistant to General Wesley Clark during the conflict in Bosnia. Wesley Clark, of course, was the Supreme Allied Commander of that war. In 1996, Massa and his family came back to the United States for treatment after he was given a terminal cancer diagnosis. 1996, that's 11, that's, how many years ago is that? 14 years ago. Terminal cancer diagnosis. 14 years ago? Okay. He spent his last year in the Navy as a cancer outreach advocate and later took a professional staff job with House Armed Services Committee. He defeated Republican Randy Kuhl in 2008 in a district that voted for Republican presidential candidate John McCain. Yada, 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 yada. All right, what's the ethics situation? Well, he has been accused of sexual harassment by a male staffer. One of his own staff people accused him of sexual harassment. And it looks like a real smokescreen here, doesn't it? He says, he also released a statement today saying he had discovered he had a recurrence of cancer. And after that, he learned he was the subject of an ethics complaint by a male staffer who felt, quote, uncomfortable, end quote, during an exchange with Massa, an exchange reportedly having sexual overtones. So Massa resigned. But what is going on here? You know, to try to cover this up and say, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that I use language in the privacy of my inner office that, you know, would make a chief petty officer feel uncomfortable. What does that mean? Does that mean cussing? Like we talked about the Navy captain, the female Navy captain who was busted earlier this week for using salty language, telling her crew members, don't you have any effing brains? And you know, drag racing her, drag racing her destroyer. You know, that story you gotta love. But here's Massa, 24 years in the Navy. Wesley Clark as assistant, whatever. And obviously, I think it's obvious. Maybe it's not obvious. Maybe this is just, you know, I'm so used to hearing these stories from these white heterosexual males who turn out to be not completely white, but not so heterosexual after all. And whether Democrat or Republican is really immaterial. What is material is the fact that so many people in this country who are living closeted lives, if they would just come out and stop feeding into this right-wing madness about somehow it's wrong to be gay. When you live that way, and it finally turns out that, you know, you may or may not be gay. It really doesn't make any difference. But if you hit on a same-sex person and that same-sex person gets word out, hey, he hit on me, or she, as the case may be, all of a sudden everybody goes, oh, God, oh, my God, we're surrounded by homosexuals. Truth is, if all the gay generals and all the gay senators and all the gay house members and all the gay preachers and priests and all the gay gas station owners and all the gay tank commanders and all the gay sanitation workers and all the gay school teachers and all the gay engineers and nuclear physicists and all the gay construction people and all the gay bricklayers, if they all would just come out, the issue would be over.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Too bad about Representative Massa, huh? Although, according to the Associated Press, this will make it a little easier for Nancy Pelosi to advance the health care overhaul. Massa was one of the Democrats who had voted against it. But all look what's happening to a lot of politicians, a lot of Democrats. Charlie Rangel, 20-term House veteran. And the most influential member of the New York delegation surrendered his chairmanship of the Ways and Means Committee this week. Of course, that, you know, everybody's known about Charlie Rangel for, what, 10 years? Charlie Rangel's a hustler. That's all. He's just a political hustler. You know, he's does his thing. Kind of harmless. You know, Charlie Rangel is not the type that does the hustle and then sends people off to die in a war. What? Oh, his advocacy of bringing back the draft? You know why he said that. To watch the Republicans wet their pants, because that would mean if there was a draft, there wouldn't be any more war. But Charlie Rangel, just a hustler. He just kind of, you know, he gets a job done for his constituents back home. Steals a little, doesn't steal a lot. It's an old family tradition. You know, you can set your own vig on everything that passes through your hands. If you take too much, we'll come and cut your goddamn throat and throw your body, you know, in New York Harbor or the Hudson. So you can steal a little, just don't steal too much. And Rangel broke that rule. So he deserves to not just step down from the chairmanship. He ought to retire. Get out, Charlie. Come on. You broke the rule, man. No, you didn't. You didn't cause a war like the Republicans do. And you don't. You're not a thug. You're just kind of a slick New York style politician who stole too much. Get out of town, Charlie. As far as David Paterson, the governor of New York, another Democrat, he's out of his goddamn mind. He ought to resign tomorrow. He ought to resign tomorrow. Oh, well. Like, yeah, this proves it. See, this proves it. The Democrats, they're all communists. They were all born in Kenya. They're all burning the Constitution and want to take your guns. There you go. There's your proof. Yes, indeed. We have a story here I want to share with you when we come back after the break of utter betrayal. I can get it started here. Utter betrayal by a senator from West Virginia. Senator J. Rockefeller, or his real name is John D. Rockefeller IV. But he has introduced regulation. He's a Democrat, Rockefeller, West Virginia. He's introduced legislation to suspend potential Environmental Protection Agency regulation on greenhouse gases from stationary sources like coal mines for 2 years. He had a statement that said, "Today, we took important action to safeguard jobs, the coal industry, and the entire economy as we move toward clean coal technology," which is horse hockey. The statement went on, "This legislation will issue a 2-year suspension on EPA regulation of greenhouse gases from stationary sources, giving Congress the time it needs to address an issue as complicated and expansive as our energy future. Congress, not the EPA, must be the ideal decision maker on such a challenging issue." 2 weeks ago, I sent a letter to EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson challenging EPA's potential regulation of greenhouse gases. Administrator Jackson responded quickly and showed some willingness to move the agency's timetable for regulation to the end of 2010. "This is a positive change and good progress, but I'm concerned it may not be enough time. We must set this delay in stone and give Congress enough time to consider a comprehensive energy bill to develop the clean coal technologies we need at a time when so many people are hurting. We need to put decisions about clean coal and our energy future into the hands of the people and their elected representatives, not a federal environmental agency." End quote. Oh, my God, he's gone over to the teabagger side. Son of a bitch. How about that? Huh? Congressman Nick Rahal, a Democrat of West Virginia, is introducing the House of Representatives companion legislation. And Representatives Alan Mullahan, a Democrat of West Virginia, and Rick Boucher, a Democrat of Virginia, as co-sponsors. Well, I'll be a son of a bitch. Here's three more Democrats, or is it four, who've switched to the Tea Party, Tea Bag Party, Teas. Jesus, God. Before the hour, got an email here from Susan in Sunny Squim. Writes, "Mike, maybe my area is rare, but I hope not. It's not the big city. It's a small town where suburban meets farm. But here, gays and lesbians are very open, no matter what their profession. Even teachers, no one cares. They openly live with their life partners and participate in all community and social functions throughout the community, just like the rest of us. They're all considered valuable and intriguing parts of the community, and no one cares. I've never, ever heard anyone say anything about it, one way or the other. It's just not a big deal. It's just one small part of who a person may be, not their whole existence. Homophobia would seem like the really weird thing here." Susan. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. But back to this Rockefeller thing. It's a press release that I'm quoting from. And the press release goes on to say, "Senator Rockefeller has been working to protect West Virginia clean coal." Let me digress. What are they talking about? There's no such thing as clean coal. There's no such thing as clean coal technology. And it's my understanding from people who understand this that there's no way to produce clean coal. How do you do that? What is coal? It's pure carbon. I mean, how do you do that? Do you build trillion-dollar plants that have scrubbers in the smokestacks and in the furnaces? And in, I don't know. Is that how you do it? And so for every $1,000 you put into producing clean coal, you get 50 cents back? Oh, that's a good idea. Nah, there's more at work here than clean coal, right? Senator Rockefeller has been working to protect West Virginia clean coal and secure the economies in clean coal states. We have clean coal states? Rockefeller's legislation will allow 2 years for Congress to consider comprehensive energy legislation before EPA could begin consideration of regulations. So what he's talking about here... I love that line, though. I love this line. This sounds like it's right out of Palin's mouth. At a time when so many people are hurting, we need to put decisions about clean coal and our energy future into the hands of the people, not a federal environmental agency. Oh, Jesus H. Christ, Nelson. Or no, you're not Nelson. Which one are you? Oh, John. In the hands of the people? Oh, yeah. What do we know about it? Ah, you know what you're doing, Jay. There's another Democrat who's become a tea bagger. Ah! And the press release goes on to say, now, I don't want to bore you folks with this. I realize not everybody lives in a coal state, but this is just so typical of what's happening. Here in Georgia, it's nuclear energy. The Southern Company that owns a lot of coal mines. In West Virginia, it's ripping the tops off of mountains and gouging out the coal. And then somebody like Rockefeller saying, well, you know, the people need to decide, not some EPA. Okay, how about, tell you what, Nelson, let's have the people decide about hedge fund operators in on Wall Street. Let's have the people decide about... Oh, for Christ's sake, it's just getting crazier and crazier. Why, you know, why even continue this struggle? This is asinine. Every night I come to work, I'm starting to feel more and more like a jerk. The press release says the bill will give Congress the time it needs to design and pass well thought out legislation. It goes on to say, in April 2007, the Supreme Court ruled in Massachusetts versus EPA that EPA must make a determination when it comes to regulating motor vehicle emissions. On December 15, 2009, EPA published its final rule in the Federal Register stating, quote,
the administrator finds that greenhouse gases in the atmosphere may reasonably be anticipated both to endanger public health and to endanger public welfare. End quote.
Okay, so what's your point? What's your point, Jay? The press release goes on. The Supreme Court ruling gives EPA the authority to regulate greenhouse gases under the Clean Air Act. If Congress wants to change or alter that authority, Congress must be able to pass a bill that addresses the real-life economic impact that EPA is not equipped to consider. What is EPA equipped to consider, Mr. Democrat Jay from West Virginia? Isn't the EPA... what's the middle word in there? Protection. Environmental Protection Agency. Environmental Protection Agency. I would think that that, you know, that is a real life situation. The press release goes on. To address concerns about EPA's unmitigated authority? God damn! Jay! This sounds like these guys, who's the jerk from Oklahoma, who says there's no such thing as global warming? Inhofe, you know, that ratty-eyed bastard. Now we have Jay Rockefeller. This is cool. This is really cool. To address concerns about EPA's unmitigated authority in regulating stationary sources, you son of a bitch, why don't you come out and say coal-fired energy plants. Well, why don't you just go stationary sources and the impact on jobs and local economies? That's right. Let's keep ripping off the tops of mountains. Let's keep breathing in poison. Let's keep getting black lung. Let's keep having people die in their 50s. Let's keep denying them any kind of insurance because, well, what the hell? It's a pre-existing condition. Let's continue to flood the airwaves on daytime television, cable television, with all these lawyers who are just willing to get in there. Are you suffering from scoliosis? Are you suffering from lung cancer? Do you have black lung? Do you have brown lung? Do you have red lung? Do you have yellow lung? Well, call us. We'll sue for you. Senator Rockefeller recently led a group of 8 senators from clean coal and manufacturing states in sending a letter to EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson. The letter conveyed concerns and questions about how the Clean Air Act could be used to regulate a host of greenhouse gas emission sources ranging from, oh my God, coal-burning power plants to factories to oil refineries and many other types of facilities that collectively employ millions of Americans, you goddamn Nazis in Washington. EPA, huh? I got your EPA. I got your EPA. Let the people decide, right, people?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, then. Administrator Jackson indicated in her expedient reply that EPA is moving forward with motor vehicle regulations, but the stationary source regulations that are likely to have far-reaching economic consequences will not be acted upon in 2010, but phased in beginning 2011. Well, then, last line. Senator Rockefeller's legislation gets to the heart of the matter. Yes, by providing time for Congress to debate a comprehensive approach to energy policy and its effect on jobs and our economy, without hampering EPA's ability to move forward with important vehicle efficiency rules. Efficiency rules, you son of a bitch! What about that, Kathy? I mean, not even Democrats anymore. You know, that's why, I've said a couple of times, nah, I'm not a Democrat anymore. I mean, if there are Democrat candidates out there, Democratic candidates who take a position that is close to social democracy, yeah, sure, I'll do whatever I can, which is not much, to help get them elected. But there's O.J. Rockefeller. Didn't this son of a bitch's family destroy enough of America back in the 19th century? And wasn't legislation passed to bust up the Standard Oil Trust back at the turn into the 20th century? That was Rockefeller's family, right? This is before a lot of the child labor laws. And the Rockefeller family had no problem sending children into mines, unsafe working conditions in oil. Of course, when Standard Oil was consolidating its power, a lot of people in this country were still using whale oil to light their houses and fireplaces to cook their food. But being the far-reaching soul that he was, John D. Rockefeller, who during the last Depression walked around handing out dimes. Goddamn, J.D., that was pretty cool. Dimes. So here's J.D. Rockefeller IV saying, listen, we don't need the EPA to do all this. We'll take care of it. We'll take care of it. We got to continue ripping the hell out of mountains up here in West Virginia. Can't last too much longer. Pretty soon, 30 years, maybe 20. 30 tops. The whole goddamn state is just going to be a disaster. Everybody's going to be dead. And, my boys will have made a lot of money and I'll retire to Bimini. No, I can't go to Bimini. That'll be underwater. The Swiss Alps. That's it. I'll retire to the Swiss Alps. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these rancid sons of bitches? Huh? Have I? Up in Gainesville town. AT&T.
Hey, truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. We have a report from Prairie 2. It's morning in America again. That's what Reagan said in 1984, but it's coming with a red dawn, as in China. There were 33 rounds of applause as Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao waded through the 36-page State of the Union-style report in Beijing. He said that his government aims to create more than 9 million jobs this year and keep unemployment down to 4.6%. It's not surprising his audience applauded with an 11% growth rate for the last quarter while the rest of the world languishes. They believe his predictions aren't just switchgrass predictions in his country. They shoot traitors. Wen's speech opened the annual parliamentary session, and he said that in spite of its impressive economic recovery, China continues to face a so-called complicated situation as the government now pushes to rein in lending and boost domestic consumption. He also focused on China's need to become a fairer society and of the government's commitment to improve education and health care while narrowing the income gap. There will be economic restructuring, he said, because they are too dependent on foreign exports, and that the gap between the rich and the poor has to be reduced by better redistribution of the benefits of the economy. China has been hinting at the possibility of revaluing their currency because of the wild swings of the U.S. dollar. But Wen made it clear that wasn't happening anytime soon. He also did not indicate there would be any rollback of the fiscal stimulus that has been spurring China's rebound. Meanwhile, some Hollywood executives who are nostalgic for the Reagan Cold War years are remaking the movie Red Dawn. But since Reagan's evil empire of the Soviets is gone, they are turning to the remaining totalitarian communist state. Unlike the Russians, who were so weak by the 1980s that a bunch of high school kids could have defeated them, China is poised to eat our lunch. MGM is spending $75 million, that's 513 million yuan, to make this new epic in Detroit, where the battle cry of Wolverines will ring out one last time before the city closes for good. Thanks to collaborators like Mitt Romney, who sold it for pennies to China, it isn't hard to find cities in Michigan that look like they've been bombed and have been living under a brutal occupation. The movie, people, will need to spruce up the houses for the opening scenes that take place before the attack. China doesn't really need to invade if they want U.S. territory. They can just have the sheriff serve the papers. MGM is also doing a big-budget remake of RoboCop, which had a dark vision of Detroit in grinding poverty under the heel of a huge corporation. Except for the cyborg cop, it's even closer to reality. Prairie2.com. So the movie is going to be a remake of Red Dawn with the Chinese invading Detroit. Oh, Jesus, did Peter Werby know about this? Oh, by the way, Peter called. He forgot he was supposed to be on the air the other night. When was it? Wednesday night. So he's going to be on Monday. And what else we got here? Yeah, we have a report card from Kay that we'll get to in a little bit. A lot of Republicans who are not part of the teabagger movement, which means Republicans out of government, like Ted Olson of all people, retired Army Major General Paul Eaton, the list just goes on and on, are people who are demanding that Obama not turn the trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or whoever else over to military tribunals. For a very simple reason, military tribunals cannot get the kinds of convictions necessary. They can execute people. You know, military tribunals, they can listen to evidence. Their rules of evidence are completely skewed. You have to be very careful if you're a prosecutor, because if you get too hard with witnesses who outrank you, you can have your ass busted. Just go look at the movie A Few Good Men. Plus, the jury in military trials, the jury is comprised of military people, and their first allegiance is, oh, I know, you're going to say, to protect and defend the Constitution. No, not in a situation like that, like a trial. Their first obligation is to protect and defend the military. So, this whole idea of civilian trials for these people is perfect. That's the way it should be. Especially this shoe bomber kid, underpants bomber kid. I mean, what? He gets on a commercial airliner, flies to a U.S. city, and then fumbles around in an attempt to destroy himself and God only knows how many other people. That's a civilian offense. He's not an enemy combatant. He's an out-of-control, brainwashed, he's brainwashed by this Muslim crap, just the way so many of our kids in this country are brainwashed by the Christian crap. And a lot of Jewish kids in Israel are brainwashed by the Jewish crap. I mean, come on. This is the religious nonsense. It's fanaticism. But Major General Paul Eaton, retired, who helped command the training of the Iraqi army during the early phase of the Iraq War, is distressed to hear that at least some of Obama's advisors are urging him to abandon a civilian trial for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Eaton, who's now senior advisor to the Progressive National Security Network, said, quote, I do not see Khalid Sheikh Mohammed as a combatant. The guy is a criminal. He is not a combatant. He's a murderer. He's not a combatant. Combatants, you see, could reasonably be charged under the Uniform Code of Military Justice in a courts-martial-like system. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was arrested in Rawalpindi, Pakistan, far from any battlefield. And it goes on and on. We'll talk some more about this when we come back. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. The Obama administration to not prosecute these alleged terrorists in civilian courts. And most of the pressure is coming from Republicans, although a few right-wing Democrats are jumping on the bandwagon because they're afraid if they don't, you see, and they're up for re-election, they'll be accused of being soft on terrorism. See how nice the terrorism apple is passed around. Once you take the first bite out of it, oh, God, isn't it great, huh? This is the catch-all for these filthy, disgusting, cowardly Republicans, these conservatives who are chicken hawks, and none of them have ever defended the country, ever, ever, in their useless lives. And Not that there was ever anything to defend against in the past 70 years, but that's a different story. Retired Army Major General Paul Eaton. That's a three-star general, if you're keeping track. He said, quote, putting a military face on the American judicial system is counterproductive. He said, recalling his work to convince Iraqi soldiers to obey the rule of law and civilian control of the military. He went on, quote, if you put the judicial system into the military's hands, that is really a challenge to the premise that civilians and not the military are responsible for guiding and directing military activities. It is really a logic break to try these cases in a military setting. Well, of course, but when you have scum suckers like these right-wing pundits and the fools on radio and television, the conservatives who scream and beat the air with their just half-witted rhetoric, and then you have the brain-dead Americans sitting out here going, okay. Marine Colonel Jeffrey Colwell, acting chief defense counsel at Defense Department's Office of Military Commission, said, quote, it would be a sad day for the rule of law if Obama decides not to proceed with the federal trial. Colwell said, quote, I thought the decision where to put people on trial, whether federal courts or military commissions, was based on what was right, not what is politically advantageous. Now, capital charges against Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his four co-defendants were withdrawn without prejudice, which means they can be reinstated, and dismissed on January 21st in what military prosecutors thought was a prelude to a transfer to Manhattan to civilian authority. But by February, there was near universal opposition among activists and lawmakers in both parties for trying the case in New York. In an interview with the Washington Post on February 11th, Eric Holder, Attorney General, gave his first public signal that he was open to returning to the military commission system. Holder said, quote, at the end of the day, wherever this case is tried, in whatever form, what we have to ensure is that it's done as transparently as possible and with adherence to all the rules, end quote. If we, quote, if we do that, I'm not sure the location or even the form is as important as what the world sees in that proceeding, end quote. That's a disingenuous comment if ever one was made, and Eric Holder should have his butt smacked for saying something like that. That is ridiculous. What do you mean? What do you mean? A military tribunal is not transparent. Never has been, never will be. It is conducted by, for, and within the United States military system. It uses an entirely different set of rules and standards. Eric Holder knows this. Top Obama advisors have been negotiating with, by the way, this is all in the Washington Post today. They've been negotiating with Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. Well, of course. Because Graham is a critic of trying these suspects in civilian court. But anyway, Obama advisors have been negotiating with Graham in pursuit of a deal that would secure the help, his help, Graham's help, in closing Guantanamo. And Graham is having none of it. I don't know. It's just this is madness. This is madness. This is madness. Anthony Romero, who's the executive director of the ACLU, said, quote, if President Obama reverses Holder's decision to try the 9/11 defendants in criminal court, and if Obama retreats to using the Bush military commissions, Obama deals a death blow to his own Justice Department. He breaks a clear campaign promise to restore the rule of law and demonstrate that the promises to his constituents are all up for grabs. Romero went on to say, quote, the military commissions have not worked. They're doomed to failure, and Obama will invariably find himself running for office again while not achieving justice for the 9/11 attacks. And it's not just that. Where did I read? These military tribunals have secured three convictions, two of which were later dismissed. One person, since 2001, civilian courts, the legal system in the United States, has convicted and sent to prison 300 people on terrorism charges. But here we go. There goes Obama again, afraid to act within the prerogatives of the chief executive of the United States and say the trials are going to be held in civilian courts. For you teabag sons of bitches that don't have enough confidence in the American court system, leave. Go join the military. Yeah, go join the military. Oh, God. Greg in Oregon writes, Mike, I was listening to your show the other night, as I often do, and you stated that you were confused about the direction this country is headed and the quality of leadership currently in place in our nation's capital. I have never heard many, if any, radio talk show person state it quite that way. I've come to the conclusion that our society has sunk so far down that total collapse is the only logical answer to our future. We as a nation have allowed ourselves to be painted into a corner by our own greed, apathy, and utter stupidity, in my opinion. I'm the same age as you, Mike, and throughout my life I've always attempted to keep a positive attitude about the future. But after 8 years of the Bush administration, and now what appears to be round three of business as usual, I'm losing all hope of any decent future for my children or grandchildren. I'm afraid a large number of us were taken in by Mr. Obama and his cadre of smooth operating Wall Street insiders. I'd like to hear you riff on what you see in the future for this country. Greg in Oregon. The country that, you know, we refer to in this context is just us. It's just us, the people. Although we are destroying the physical part of this country, the water, the soil, the air. You know, we're just, and now J.D. Rockefeller is assisting in the destruction. Oh, Jesus, God. But I digress. We the people, we're the society. That's all. I mean, the United States, other than being degraded environmentally, has not changed since white people first invaded. But it's still the same, yeah, same mountains, same rivers, same this, same that. Some of them dried up and blown away, turned into dust. But you know what I'm saying. It's, the country is the physical manifestation. The only thing that changes is us, the people. Are we going to change? Are we going to continue down this path to corporatism, to fascism? I don't know. Right now, like I said, I don't have any hope that springs from what I see within this country, me personally. I really don't. I don't see leadership that would take us away from this drift to corporatism and back towards a social democratic kind of system. I'll tell you the unless when we come back.
It's more Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. A quick correction. I referred to General Paul Eaton as 3 stars. I knew that a major general is 2 stars. I just misspoke. Thank God our military affairs correspondent is listening. Sharon immediately emailed me. So no hope unless that was the question. What do I see happening? I don't know how this drift toward corporatism is stopped, especially now that the Supreme Court, all the Nazis on the Supreme Court, the same Nazis essentially that gave the presidency to George Bush on December 12, 2000, that same clutch of Nazis with a couple of additions, but the same Nazis more or less. Have now declared that corporations have the same constitutional protections as human beings. You talk about the founding, the framers of the Constitution of the United States spinning in their sarcophagi. I cannot imagine the revolutionaries taking up arms against the British Crown so that corporations could have the same standing within this experiment as human beings, white human beings, back then. But that's what has happened. So as things, you know, drift toward chaos, not order. I mean, so Mussolini made the trains run on time. But I mean, how many governments have there been? Has there been in Italy since the end of World War II? 50? Until this thug Berlusconi seized power, bought his way into power. But yeah, but Germany under Hitler, is that take a look. Take a look at Germany. 12 years after Hitler's thousand-year Reich experiment began, what was left? In 1945, what was left in Germany? Chaos, destruction, nothing. Burning, death, dead, rancid, rotten, rats, just, you know. So anytime you have a move toward corporatism, eventually it falls apart and it takes everything down with it. Everything comes down with it. We have been a little bit smarter in this country because we're a nation of immigrants. Either forced, you know, we rounded up the residents and said, get out of town. But everybody that came here. You understand what I'm saying? So we're a nation of immigrants. There's no such thing as white Americans. They just don't exist. Like there are white Irish people in Ireland, Celts, or there are white Russians. Yeah, don't make me go too deep on that. You know what I'm saying? So having come from other countries with religious intolerance and political intolerance and all sorts of intolerance. An effort was made at the very beginning, first of all, to keep the stinking goddamn religion out of our self-governance. That didn't last too long, even though if you wise guys out there remember the Treaty of Tripoli that declared categorically that this was not a Christian nation. In order to make peace with the Barbary Coast pirates, I guess. I have no idea. I really don't care. But this, the framers understood that they had to keep this country away from religion, away from corporatism, away from non-living, breathing entities being declared human, being declared white at the time. You know what I'm saying? And the reason for it was they had the evidence of history as to what happens if they didn't do that. Well, the experiment is finished. The experiment itself is finished. It was it started to go belly up about the time of World War One. I'll take it back. The time of the Spanish-American War. That's when the experiment stopped, and U.S. imperialism was born. Remember, the framers said, don't get involved in other nations or treaties with other nations. Just stay the hell out of all that. Because they knew what it had. They came from Europe. They had Europe as the model, is what I'm trying to say. They knew. They had Asia as a model. They knew what. They understood. Stay out of it. Stay home. Just here. Look, we've stolen this great country. God only knows how far it extends west. We don't have any idea how many engines we're going to have to murder, but this is our country. We got it. Let's not dick around with anybody else in any other condition. We don't need it. Once we steal this one, man, we got it. Yeah, well, you know what happened to that. So do I have hope right now? Not if everything were to remain on the course it's on. No, of course not. Do you? I don't think anybody does. I think it's pretty obvious what's going on. So, but again, I didn't get to no hope unless. I didn't get to the unless part. I'll do that when we come back. Stay with us. Doctors find many ways of wrapping brains in metal trays to keep us from the heat. It's good news week. Someone's dropped a bomb somewhere, contaminating atmosphere and blackening the sky.
Too short to listen to right-wing radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven.
The question that I was asked by one of our listeners via email was, what do I see coming? And I see a lot of trouble. I really do. Human beings tend to panic, and they tend to be easily manipulated by demagogues, especially here. For some reason, we've forgotten our roots. We don't have any historical memory. And we are disinclined to take a look at recent history and see what happens when demagogues take over. It's never what they say it will be. Never. Jesus Christ, why is that not just so obvious? People who spout this populist horse hockey, and especially the ones that do it for the glory and the money, they're thugs, they're punks, and they lead us into a cul-de-sac. It's always happened that way. And if some of these teabagger dumbasses would just learn how to read and take a look at history, but of course that's asking too much, they would run as fast as their little legs could carry them away from their leaders. But the distrust and the fear and the stink of this country is starting to get to the point where it's people are getting very, very armed and running around in the woods once again with all their little patriot games and so on and so forth, and it's which accomplishes nothing. It just speeds up the very thing that they think they're working against. So I don't know, to move the country towards social democracy. Real social democracy. There have been a couple attempts to do it. It's always cut off at the knees by the oligarchs, the Rockefellers, just down the list. In other societies and other times, they had a very simple solution. You just kill all the oligarchs, get rid of them. Just line them up and shoot them or cut their heads off or something. Because it seems to be a generational thing that's passed in the DNA, with these oligarchs, with the super wealthy, with the people who don't work but manipulate. And that is, the people, the vast majority of the people, are just little pieces for us to move around. The real goal here is to control everything, and we'll continue to do it. And that seems to pass through the DNA of the ultra wealthy and the real power seekers. And like I said, in other societies, it's very simple. You line them all up and shoot them or lop their heads off or do whatever you have to do. But in order to stop that, because millions of people continue to die so that these pig bastards can live the way they want to live. And everybody had, now, if nobody had to die, if everybody had to just have their life, fine. But that's not how it works in capitalism. Capitalism says, I am going to get the top of the heap. And how am I going to get there? I'm going to climb up on bodies, children, women, men, old people, young people. I don't give a goddamn. I don't care how many of you suffer. I don't care how many of your jobs I have to take away from you, how many of your savings I have to turn into dust. I don't care how many of you I have to destroy, how many of your sons and daughters I have to send into battle to fight for me so that I can open up new markets and make more money. I don't care how many of you come back brain dead, your eyes shot out, your legs out from under you. I don't give a goddamn. I am a capitalist. Well, the ultimate end point for that person is to be king or Caesar or czar or dictator or, you know, whatever. So the only hope I have is that somehow, some way, we people wake up to our responsibility in all this. Not to the extent that the French did in the 1790s. That would be taking a little bit too far. But really wake up to our responsibility to each other. I mean, that's where it is. There's no such thing as pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That doesn't exist. The only time that ever existed is when we were murdering Indians and, you know, taking over vast tracts of land in the West. Yeah, well, then I guess bootstraps were... Because if you didn't use your bootstraps, those darn old Indians who break into your house at night cut your goddamn head off, and your wife and your kids and your mama and your daddy and everybody else, and your husband if you happen to be a woman. But that's about the only time. Nobody does bootstraps. Get real. This is everything's interconnected. It's a web. It's a tapestry. It's a weaving. And these filthy pig sons of bitches like Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin and these patriot bastards, they're shredding the fabric of everything. They're just ripping it to pieces because they're insane and they're scared and they're cowards and they don't know what to do. So give me a gun and let me rip and tear and thrash. And if other people die or get scared or the economy flattens, I don't care. I don't care. I've got my gun. I've got my dehydrated water. I am waiting because they're coming. Who's they? Them. So the only hope I have is that somehow we transcend this madness. It's going to take a while, and I think we have to go much lower. I agree with Krugman and Prairie 2 and a lot of other people that say, look, you know, this we have a ways to go down before any up can even be considered. And the people say, well, what about the stock market? Stock market is horse crap. You know, the stock market doesn't mean a thing. It means nothing. When stocks advance, who's doing the buying? Are you? Am I? Of course not. It's being churned. The market is churned by these, again, by the wealthy. Maybe the stock market should be narrowed down a little bit. Maybe the commodities market, where prices are manipulated for the benefit of a few, not for you and me. The commodities markets don't drive down the prices of tomatoes. They don't drive down the futures on gasoline. No. They drive it up. Unless the speculators feel that they can make money when the prices do go down, then they'll drive it down, but only temporarily, so they can sell everything short, make their money, and then stand back and laugh their asses off while you and I try to figure out how in the hell we're going to fill up our gas tanks at $3.50 a gallon when the whole goddamn planet is awash in oil and gasoline because all the murder and mayhem out there is about gas and oil. So do I have any hope? Yeah, of course I do. I've tons of hope. If we can ever wake up to the fact that capitalism is a death cult and that conservatism is a terrorist idea and that both have to be done away with. both. They have to. Unless you just want to continue the ride. If you want, if you are in the top 0.1%, you're thinking to yourself right now, this son of a bitch is crazy. How'd this guy get on the radio? Okay, that's fine. That's fair. I couldn't care less. How'd I get on the radio? I needed a job. That's how I got the radio. Conservatism is a terrorist movement. Capitalism is anti-life. It's very simple. You want to change it? You've got the power. Glenn Beck doesn't have any power. The only power Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin have is to reach into your wallet and take your money and laugh their asses off at how stupid you are and how easily manipulable you are. The real power is with you and me and him and her. And if we ever figure that out and decide, well, that's enough of this crap, that's where my hope lies. But I'm not going to live long enough for that. I can tell you that right now because we're talking maybe 30 years down the road. And I'm real certain I'm not going to be alive 30 years from now. How about you? Are you going to be alive 30 years from now? Okay. Well, there you go. So that's where my hope lies. Move this country away from this murderous system of this death system of capitalism, which is going to be difficult to do now the Supreme Court has declared that corporations are human beings, pretty much, and can operate thus. But get us away from crazy religion, get us away from a suicidal economic system, and but I think the leaders of that movement are probably just in kindergarten right now, or maybe second grade, or maybe haven't been born yet, because I can't think of anybody, not that they don't exist, but I can't think of anybody in the public forum, or in the public arena, I should say, who is capable or has leadership qualities to make people see how in madness, how deeply enmeshed in madness we've really become. Hey, we're going to open up the phones and... I'll tell you what, as soon as we come back from this break, we're going to play trivia. Give away a free one-year subscription to Malloy Podcast Downloads, Download Podcast, whatever the hell it's called, commercial-free. So give us a call, 877-996-2556, if you want to do a quick trivia, and then you can stay on the line if you want to and talk trash. I'm Mike Malloy. Once again, for podcast trivia on the Malloy program, where you can win a one-year subscription to Malloy Show podcast downloads, commercial-free, full of all kinds of flame and fire to enjoy at your leisure. All you have to do is come up with the right answer to a multiple-choice question that we will ask you, taken from, ripped from today's headlines, or yesterday's, or at some point in there. Dave is in Redwood City, California. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. Let's start the theme music, maestro, if you will. That makes everybody always nervous. Here's your question. Recently, a group of atheist students at University of Texas, San Antonio, raised eyebrows with their campaign, which encouraged students to exchange their Bibles for A, Sarah Palin's book going rogue, B, pornography, C, 10 boxes of Do-Si-Do Girl Scout cookies, or D, former Senator Larry Craig's private cell phone number.
I missed this story. Those are all good choices. What would the atheists do, the cookies or the porn? They're both so sweet.
Yeah, Sarah Palin's book, Going Rogue, B, pornography, C, Girl Scout cookies, or D, Larry Craig's private cell phone number.
Let's go with the porn.
The porn. You're absolutely right. Yeah, they called it the Smut for Smut campaign, given the fact that the Bible is chock-a-block with just all sorts of atrocities against fellow human beings in there. All right, hold on, Dave, and Kathy will get the pertinent information. Congratulations, I'm glad you won. Oh, wait a minute, Dave had a comment. Yes, Dave.
Shall we chat?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you got a sec. I was telling Kathy, you know, it's like you put your finger right on it that we're the direction we need to go. We've gone backwards officially, thanks to John Roberts, the head of the Supreme Court, is going in the exact opposite direction of increasing corporate influence over the system.
Yeah, it's astonishing.
Taking a further deadlock.
Yeah, astonishing. And of course, that's why John Roberts was A, nominated, B, confirmed, was to do
exactly that.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So now his brain seizes up every now and then. I wonder why.
Yeah.
So maybe you could seize a little bit more. I would not shed a tear. So we could get things a little bit more back on track, you know. Somebody in there that isn't answerable to the oligarchs. I mean, there's the common ground we can all talk about is the oligarchs, that half of a tenth of a percent or whatever it is, because these are just managers of the Burger King that we're complaining to in our government.
Yeah, that is so the truth. It does, you know, to continue to play this political game. This is the part that drives me insane. To continue to say, well, I'll never vote for Republican. I'll only vote Democrat, or whatever one chooses to do. This is madness. I still get emails from people that say, how can you continue to advocate that when you know that if we don't have a Democrat president, we're going to have even more conservatives on the Supreme Court? And my answer to that is, look, it's drifting a certain way. There is no way to stop this short of changing the system, and the change is not going to come from the top. I don't care how dedicated a Democratic president would be to the restoration, like Obama was, to the restoration of the way things should be. Once he or she is elected, that's the end of it. It's not going to happen. The system is not going to be changed from the top down. Tell me a system that ever was.
Never happened.
Right. It changes from the bottom up when the people finally have had enough, and sometimes it takes seeing their country reduced to rubble by nuclear bombs before they finally realize they've had enough.
Yeah, hopefully we don't bottom out there. I mean, let's go bottom dwellers, because we do have more power than we give ourselves credit for. You're right about that, too.
I hear
and,
you.
You know, maybe some common ground with the teabaggers and the truthers and whatnot is let's end the Fed or publicize the Fed. Why is it private? Why does our government borrow money at a profit?
Yeah, there's so much of that stuff that needs to be addressed, Dave, and I just, you know, it gives me a headache on Friday night. But stay there. Kathy's going to get your information now. Thanks for winning and thanks for hanging out. What's this, a call from Queensland, Australia, from Toowoomba?
Hey, good day, Mike.
And it's Blue calling from Australia.
That's right. I've got flaming red hair, so naturally I'm blue, right?
Right.
But I'm getting a fantastic echo. I'm lying out on the beach. I'm going to walk a few paces down the beach here with a bottle of Pinot Grigio.
Well, where is Toowoomba, Queensland?
Well, we're the great metropolis. If you look at the map, we're just west of the tiny village of Brisbane in Queensland.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful day. I'm out here with the wife and the kids and a couple of bottles of wine. And I was listening to you on the Internet, which I do from time to time, because there's nobody like you that I can tell from the States that, you know, talks about what's really going on there. And I don't know, why did I call? What was the reason I called that?
Just to tell me you're having a good time.
I suppose it was, but, you know, I've got an uncle who for a couple of years was a surgeon. He was in the U.S. He was working at the University of Chicago and on the staff from about 2005 to 2007. And I was listening the other day. You had some bloke call up about, you were talking about healthcare.
Right.
And talking about, what the hell were you talking about? something to do with Michelle Obama.
Oh, yeah, being a lobbyist for the University of Chicago, right.
No, she wasn't a lobbyist. She was a paid representative for the HMOs at the University of Chicago. She was making $275,000 a year to do that.
Right.
And I was talking to my uncle about that the other day, and he thought, you know, I thought this was common knowledge in the States that, you know, that she'd done this.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Blue, can you hold on? I've got to take a commercial break here. Can you hold on?
All right, yeah.
All right, if you're there when we come back, let's chat, all right? And don't go in the water too deep with, you know, while you're drinking wine. Stay right there. We'll be right back, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We lost Blue. Damn. You know, Blue, if you're still listening online, there's a couple of people who had some questions for you. Elaine wants to know if you'll adopt her. Please, she says, I'm great with kids. There you go. And Zach says, Mike, I'm a frequent listener. I'm a college student, University of Texas in Austin. I'm taking a class on Australian literature and film. If you can, ask Blue if he's familiar with the story of Robin Davidson, the camel lady. Also, it'd be great if you could ask what's his favorite drover's wife story. And if he knows any Aborigines. Zach. Well, there you go, Blue. Next time you call in. You will have forgotten those questions completely. Sparky in Portland, Oregon writes, Mike, as a liberal, a truck driver currently based in the South, I tend not to listen very much to the wall-to-wall right-wing garbage from Glenn Beck Ditto Heads on the CB radio. Nor do I even talk to people very often at our terminals. But the other day, I was in one of our terminals getting a cup of coffee and overheard a man who looked just like Joe the Plumber ranting on about how Obama was ramming this health care bill down all of our throats. He went on saying, quote, this is a center-right country, and 80-90% of the people don't want this bill. Gee, where did he hear that from? There was an African-American driver sitting in the room, and he said nothing. There was also an Eastern Indian man in the same room. He remained silent as well. Maybe because I shared the same skin tone as this Joe the Plumber freak, I felt obligated to say something, as I was somewhere between embarrassed and angry. So I simply asked him how this country would be different had John McCain and Sarah Palin won the election. He immediately responded angrily, at least we wouldn't have to buy into the socialist government-run healthcare system no one wants. I informed him there was not even a public option in the bill and that many of the people opposed to this bill are liberals who want single payer. A weird little gleam came to the eyes of this Joe the Plumber wannabe. He took a deep breath and I could tell right away some kind of right-wing bumper sticker slogan was about to spew out of his mouth. He raised his finger at me and widened his eyes, and all he managed to get out was, don't get me started. The fact that he was so bent out of shape he could not even form a right-wing slogan in that peanut brain of his amused me. I simply raised my coffee and walked back to my truck muttering to myself, never talk to Republicans. Sparky. Yeah, that's a complete waste of time. They have had their brains sucked out with the, is it proboscis? Of creatures like Glenn Beck and Limbaugh for so long. that, and then regurgitated back into their skulls, that there's nothing there. Their brains have been turned to mush. Don't. Not only is it a waste of time, it's dangerous because these son of a bitches, every one of them has a gun because they're afraid of their own shadows. Or they're afraid of liberals like me. And if you, if you spook them, they're liable to draw down on you, and then you'll have to kill them, and then you'll go to jail because I've yet to meet a conservative that can shoot straight. Stupid sons of bitches. So you wind up going to jail. From 9 News, NBC affiliate in Denver, it's a story out of Boulder. A preschool student at a Catholic school in Boulder, a preschool student, what is that, 4? Will not be allowed to return next school year to this Catholic school because of what is going on at home. The kids' parents are 2 women. And the Denver Archdiocese says their homosexual relationship violates the school's beliefs and policy. According to teachers at Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic School, a meeting was held Tuesday to discuss the issue. The staff was told a student would not be allowed to re-enroll because of the parents' sexual orientation. The staff members were also told not to talk to the media. In other words, keep your goddamn mouth shut or you'll burn in hell forever. No extreme unction, no last rites, nothing. Shut up! Oh. In a statement sent to 9 News, the Archdiocese said, quote, homosexual couples living together as a couple are in disaccord with Catholic teaching, end quote. According to the Archdiocese, parents who enroll their kids at Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic School are expected to follow the Catholic Church's beliefs. You get that? Not Jesus' beliefs. No, 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 no. Oh, hell no. The statement said, no person shall be admitted as a student in any Catholic school unless that person and his or her parents subscribe to the school's philosophy and agree to abide by the educational policies and regulations of the school and archdiocese and will willingly submit to our priests every once in a while for that priest's sexual release. Oh, wait, do we say that? Wait, no, take that back. Because the student's parents are homosexual, the archdiocese says they were in clear violation of the school's policy. One employee said she could not believe a student will have to suffer because of his or her parents' sexual orientation. The archdiocese also told 9 News, quote, parents living in open discord with Catholic teaching in areas of faith and morals, unfortunately, choose by their actions to disqualify their children from enrollment. Does the church, this is just a throwaway question, does the church canvass the parents of the kids in the school to see if they think capital punishment is a good idea? Because if the parents do, then their children should be removed from the school also, because the official position, you see, of the Catholic hierarchy, going all the way up to the Nazi Pope, is anti-death penalty. So, seems to me there might be a case here. Of course, it's a private school, so not too much can be done. They can make these little children say Hail Marys to a chair every day if they want to, and the ACLU is powerless. But seems just not right, doesn't it? If the parents believe, if they have heterosexual parents who believe in capital punishment, shouldn't the little darlings be expelled? That is in discord with Catholic Church teachings. I wonder if these parents of this child were 2 males, would the church have such a hard-ass policy? I mean, after all, the Catholic Church is a place, you might say, where, well, actually it's pedophiles. If there were 2 pedophiles living together, would the church school demand that the little boy be taken out of class? Because No, I think in the case of pedophiles, probably a, what do they call it, a dispensation would be rounded up and granted. The parents are pedophiles? Oh, hell, they'll fit right in. They'll fit right in. The Vatican has been rocked by a sex scandal reaching into the Pope's household after a chorister was sacked for allegedly procuring male prostitutes for a papal gentleman-in-waiting. What? A gentleman-in-waiting? To the Pope? Son of a bitch, are you kidding me? He has a butler? The Pope? This is like the Queen having a lady-in-waiting, right? A gentleman-in-waiting. Oh, Jesus is going to be pissed off at you people. Oh, Jesus is going to be pissed off. He is going to be so pissed off at you people. I swear he is.
And now she said, guys, don't turn no more for me.
It's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Yeah, 21 past the hour. So the Catholic Archdiocese of Denver tells a school in Boulder, get rid of the little preschool kid. He can't re-enroll because his parents are two women, and we don't allow any of that, you know. Meanwhile, in Rome, there's a little sex scandal going on over there that reaches all the way into the Nazi Pope's household. Police caught Angelo Balducci, whose title is A Gentleman of His Holiness, on a wiretap, allegedly negotiating with Thomas Chinadu Ichaim, 29 years old, a Vatican chorister. What is that, a singer? I have no idea. Over the specific physical details of men he wanted brought to him, Balducci. Transcripts suggest that numerous men may have been procured for Mr. Balducci, at least one of whom was studying for the priesthood. The explosive claims about Mr. Balducci's private life have caused grave embarrassment to the Vatican. And here's the part I like, which has yet to publicly comment on the affair. Mr. Balducci was arrested February 10th. But meanwhile, back here in the States, a little four-year-old kid, or I would assume he's four, he can't re-enroll because his parents are lesbian. What was it that Jesus said? Let me see here. Here we go. Mark 10, verse 14. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them and blessed them. Ooh. Well, I wonder if these school administrators are willing to duke it out with Jesus. Jesus is pretty clear about this stuff, boys. You better be careful. Matthew 18, verse 6, quote, but who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Mark 9:42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Luke 17:2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. I'll tell you what, you priestly types at this school in Boulder, you are treading on very dangerous ground. Your savior is going to rip your head off. I'm serious. He's going to rip your head off, toss it into hell so the demons can use it as a soccer ball, says in the Bible. You know, Jesus is not directly quoted a whole lot, but he is quoted about, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." Y'all better be careful, you nasty-ass priest punks that are running this school. How dare you? What did the child do? Oh, I'm guessing he's got two loving parents who are trying to do their best to educate him. And you know what? You know what else, you scum-sucking Catholic priests? I bet these two women are Catholics. What do you want to bet? So they have a child. And they understand, I'm speculating here, I don't know, this may not be the case at all, but let's indulge Malloy. They're Catholics, they believe in the teachings of their church, where it concerns the sanctity of children and the holiness of these young lives. They probably are familiar with Matthew and Mark and Luke, these admonitions by their Lord and Savior himself against corrupting children, disrespecting children. And so they send their child to school, and the administrators of the school, which you know are going to be priests, stomp on the child. Tell him to get out! Your parents are dykes! Get out, you little devil! Meanwhile, Jesus is sitting up at the right hand of God, taking note of all this, don't you think? Huh? According to what my grandma used to tell me, that's how it works. Jesus sitting up there with a long eagle feather pen writing in the book of life. He's writing down, let me see here. Father, what's the date? Okay. March 5th, 2010, Earth Years. Note these two Catholic priests who are denying this child entry, re-entry. All right, I got it down. Father, did you tell me the date? Oh, never mind. I am not at the wheel's control. And I am guilty, I am worn, I am the root of all evil. Lord, and I can't drive on the left side of the road. Cause it's a hard life, it's a hard life, it's a very hard life. It's a hard life wherever you go. And if we poison our children with hate, then the hard life is all that they'll know.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. John is in Mission Hills, California, listening to KTLK. Hey, John.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I heard what you said about feeling like you're a jerk coming in every day. Don't. You're not a jerk.
Okay.
You're a breath of hope for all of us out here. you make me feel like I'm not crazy.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, I see what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I really wish I could have got on with Blue.
Because, yeah.
I wanted to bring up, you know, right in the middle of April here is going to be Anzac Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it celebrates the awful Churchillian disaster in World War One of Gallipoli.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
Thousands, I mean thousands, tens of thousands of Anzac, Australia, New Zealand. Yes, they were just slaughtered.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, I'd never heard of Gallipoli until I saw the movie.
Great movie.
Yeah, and realized how the Australian soldiers were just used as fodder, just thrown in the meat grinder.
Yep.
The commanders knew that they would be butchered like so many sheep, and sent them anyway. And it was just a horrible chapter in a horrible war.
And they're still doing it.
Yeah.
It still happens.
Only
for
it's
God's sake, the war to end all war.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, you're a hell of a guy. I appreciate you more than you know. I mean, I wish I could get your podcast, but I'm too old a fart to have a computer, so I can't. But boy, I listen to you.
Well, I'm glad that I'm glad to hear that, John. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, man. Okay,
man.
All right, take care. Carl is in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Hey, Carl.
Hello, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Fine. It's just another week of what is Obama sold out again on the trying to tear us for in the military court system. It seems like every week it's something else. He just bends over and lets them give it to him again.
Well, he hasn't. I don't think a final decision has been made. There's a lot of pressure, unless something was done this evening, but there's a lot of pressure to... by these right-wing crazy people, Democrats and Republicans, to display absolutely no faith in our legal or judicial or legal system whatsoever, and take another step into turning this into a corporatocracy where the rules that apply in a military tribunal start applying to all citizens. Watch out! Watch out! Here come those little green men again. Be careful.
Hello.
Yeah, did they get you?
Let me call you right back.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Carl. Take care. Brian is in Toledo. Homeboy. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, I think I can explain to people about the Republican indoctrination. I think I got it figured out.
All right, go ahead.
We can blame it on Ronald Reagan. Back in the early 80s, he lifted this FCC law which allowed cartoons to be basically commercials, you know, for a He-Man, G.I. Joe, Transformers, and all that.
Yeah.
Now, flash forward to today, if you listen to the Glenn Beck show, now you gotta get the book. You gotta go watch the TV show. You gotta go to the live show. Like O'Reilly, you gotta get the pen, you gotta get the mug, you gotta get all these bumper stickers.
Right.
Get the T-shirt, get it all, go to the live shows. March like a soldier, hiya, 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 you know, goose step to the Republican way.
Well, you know, the right-wingers, the conservatives, they have a captive audience. They have a bunch of scared-to-death Republicans, and they're just milking them like a bunch of goddamn cows. I've never seen anything like it. These rich O'Reillys and Becks and Hannitys just keep getting richer and richer and richer, just sucking the very lifeblood out of these poor, miserable chumps, these goofs who, you know, oh, Glenn, we love you. Oh, Sean, thank God you're there. And
yeah, him too. But the scary thing is, yeah, I like comic books, horror movies, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But they don't tell me who to vote for.
Well,
that's what's scary.
That's true. That's very true. Thanks, Brian. I appreciate you checking in, pal. I wonder what the rank and file Republicans, the conservatives, teabaggers, whatever you want to call them. What are they going to do when they finally come out of the ether and realize that they've been played for fools yet again? Again! Very seldom do you find demagogues on the left who are able to work a scam against liberals and Democrats the way you find it on the right. Why does this always happen to you poor schmoes? I mean, you're constantly looking for somebody to tell you when to go potty, when to wipe your butt, what you're supposed to eat for supper, where to send the check, whether it's religious charlatans on television or these political punks like Beck and Palin and Malkin, Crazy Eyes. Why do you all keep doing it? I'm just curious. You just ricochet like a bunch of goddamn billiard balls from one of these geeks to another one. Ah, Glenn. Bah, Sean. Bah, Rush. Bah. What is wrong with you people? None of you ever have an original thought or a creative idea at all, ever.
You believe in the Second Amendment?
Jesus God. But what are you going to do when you finally come out of the ether? If your history is any indication, you're not going to do anything. You're just going to wait for the next one to stick their hand down your jeans and start removing body parts. You people are crazy. You really, really are crazy. You're suckers. You're just such suckers. You right wingers, you conservatives. I just don't get it. It's you know, a sucker is a sucker is a sucker. It doesn't make any difference if it's left, right, Democrat, Republican, Jew, Gentile, whatever. A sucker is a sucker. But you people are just worked over time and time and time again. And now you got, I mean, you are force-fed, and I don't think there's too much force applied. You're force-fed stuff like, Obama's really a Kenyan. You dumbasses. How can you be so stupid? How can you be so stupid? Keep your government hands off my Medicare. How can you be so ridiculously stupid? Oh, never mind. Never mind. Y'all have been punked so many times, and you just I don't get conservatives. I don't get you. I don't. And you know what? You know what is weird? You keep getting punked in what is like a race to the bottom. Who can punk you the hardest? And not even a reach around to say thank you. Nothing. You know, you start out with people like the John Birch Society, and you wind up with the teabaggers over the course of about 40 years. Are you not aware that the new crop of people that are punking you are halfway literate? If that, they're stupid, they're cowardly. They're willing to send your kid to go fight a corporate war, but not theirs. At least the old line, what was Barry Goldwater? Wasn't he a general or something? A colonel? I don't know. These old line Republicans, agree with him or not, back in the 40s and 50s, at least they had the courage of their own convictions. These punks that are eating your brains from right-wing radio and television, and taking your money and laughing their asses off at you suckers. How do you stand it? How do you handle getting hosed over and over and over again on a daily basis by these millionaires who just jerk you around like so many sacks of garbage? But I digress. Never mind. No, I don't want to talk to that freak. Nah, I don't want to talk to him. We have to take a break here, don't we? No. All right, let's. Linda is in Buffalo, New York. Hey, Linda.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay. What's going on?
I'm calling you to thank you for being outraged and hating those people, because I am in the same place right now, and you do it for me, and I love you.
Well, hallelujah.
Okay. So let me tell you what I'm outraged about, and
okay.
That is the fact that they voted down Bernie Sanders' bill, I think it was day before yesterday,
yeah,
to give the $250 to the people on Social Security, the elderly, the disabled, and the veterans. You know, $250? Come on, they got to give it to rich people. They fight the wars. They build nuclear reactors on top of people and make them sick. They can't even take care of people who are disabled and elderly and, you know, just don't have anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
I'm just totally outraged, and I really feel the same way you do about those people.
Yeah. Well, we're in good company. You and me, Linda. I don't know what the hell we're going to do about it besides feeling outraged. Thanks, Linda. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back.
Listen to the radio. I left a handsome two-step, a good old boy in Tennessee. Now I'm sitting on the sofa, he's looking for a supper, wondering what's become of me. I got a 008 Tina Martin guitar in the backseat of the car. Hey, I am leaving Mississippi with the radio on. Cause when you can't find a friend, you still got the radio.
Before the hour, thanks to our crew, Sharon Gordy, who's our military affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberg, economic affairs, Prairie 2, Kay Petrini, San Francisco school teacher, school teacher lives in San Francisco, teaches at a private school, education affairs correspondent, Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf, who... listen to the program diligently. If they hear a failure of ethical standards, they immediately email me and threaten my life. And, of course, our executive producer and engineer, Kathy Bay, who somehow keeps the equipment working, which is... poor baby, you've had just a terrible sinus infection all this week. You're a real trooper. The show must go on. Even if you're drinking herbal tea and flushing your nose out with saline solution, poor thing. Kevin, excuse me, Kevin is in Galesburg, Illinois. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
You're my hero.
No, hero just a sandwich.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay.
You say so.
All right.
Hey, man, I'm getting really sick of this overrated Dorito-eaten bastard named Jay Leno. I am convinced he is a right-winger.
Yeah, okay. I think so, yeah.
He had Rush Limbaugh on a few months back. Then he had Sarah Palin on this week. He's shoving her down our throats. He's just driving me nuts, man.
Well, that's the amazing thing about your television set, Kevin. Just switch channels.
Well, I didn't watch it. I just been following this on the internet. I didn't watch it at all.
Well, did you hear the latest that when Palin was on Tuesday, somebody played some of it. The laugh track was padded. They the NBC engineers added all these sound effects to make it sound as though the audience is really digging her, which apparently it was not.
Yeah, well, that's what I was gonna say. He's trying to shove her down our throat. He's trying to run her for president, and that's why he probably had him put a laugh track on there so make it look like everybody loved her dumbass, and nobody does.
that's very true. I know I damn sure don't. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you checking in. Michael is in Columbus, Ohio. I'm obsessed with Glenn Beck. What does that mean? I'm not obsessed with Glenn Beck.
Every time you bring up the Tea Party, that's all you talk
about.
Well,
he's the leader. He's the leader of the Tea Party. What are you, out of your mind? It's not the Tea Party. It's Tea Bag Party. Get your terms right, Michael. Glenn Beck is the leader of the Tea Bag Party. And they like to sit around and teabag each other. I'm not obsessed with the fool. I just, he's a leader. I'll bet you listen to him too, don't you, Michael? I bet you love Glenn Beck. I'm not obsessed with him. It's just when I see somebody who is destroying my country, I like to do something to stop it. I mean, I can't take a club and go beat his ass into a pulp someplace. I can't do that. You know, I can't hide in the bushes and when he comes out, kidnap him and sell him to the Somali pirates. You know, I can't do that. I can't do what Jesus threatened to do with people who didn't respect children. I can't hang a millstone around his neck and drop him in some goddamn sewer somewhere. I can't do that either. So what have I got left? Well, I've got this cheesy little 25-cent radio program. That's what I have left, Michael. So anytime the teabagging phenomenon comes up, I got to mention him. You know, I mean, he's God to the teabaggers. Thank you, Glenn Beck. We love you. Somebody sent me an email and said he was telling his zombies today to pull their kids out of public school. Neil Bortz down here in Atlanta has been talking about that for 30 years. Jesus Christ. What does Bortz call them? Government-run schools. Woo! Way to go, Neil. Government-run roads. Government-run mail service. Government-run garbage collection. Government-run fire trucks. Government-run police. You're goddamn right, Neil. Boy, aren't you glad, you tin horn sucker. Neil Bortz, that's one of the dinosaurs in talk radio down here. But, I mention Glenn Beck, Mike, every chance I get because he's such an ass. He really is. And he works people like you to a fairly well. Have you bought his prayer cloth yet? Have you got his holy water, whatever the hell he's selling? Oh, that's right. He's not selling anything. He's sucking your brains out. He does sell books, doesn't he, with pictures of him in Nazi regalia. That's nice. Yeah, that's nice. That was one of his best sellers, Sieg Heil. Hey, Glenn? Huh? Sieg Heil, Glenn. No, I can't chop him up in little bits and toss him to the fishes, and I can't set him on fire, and I can't put an IED near where he's going to drive his massive Cadillac Escalade, and I can't blow air up his rear end and set him on fire. So the only thing I can do is just talk about it, talk about his idiocy and his cannibalism on the air. And eventually, and truth be told, eventually, he is going to get on his airplane and fly it into a building somewhere. He will. That'll be his way of committing suicide because you know it's going to happen. What a jerkwad. Well, we have to put up with that kind of stuff in the United States of America. You know, just every once in a while, them right wingers find themselves another turkey to follow around with their noses right around their hindquarters. And this, I don't know, this season is Glenn Beck. I'll see y'all Monday. Have a great weekend. Have fun. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Beloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.